Applicants must have excellent computer skills and experience with software applications. Also, you must love the Lord and understand Christian terminology. For an in-person interview, call 904-262-7777 and leave a message. First Conservative Baptist Church is an equal opportunity employer. Thanks for wanting to serve the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us for Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about an issue today that's a gigantic question. It demands to be considered. It requires an answer. It requires consideration and a sense of obligation on each of us as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. What should Christians and conservatives do? We're basing it on that in a time like this. In fact, in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? That's a good question. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 33, God gives Ezekiel the definite directions of what he needs to do. He says, if you see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not the warning, it is and the sword come and taketh him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And it goes on then, we have the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to warn of dangers ahead, of the roadblocks, of the potholes, of the dangers that's before us as a nation. And I think it's time Christians and conservatives and patriots recognize that God has placed in our hands the responsibility of being salt and light in a darkened, decaying, dying society. And just before the news break, we were talking about the new governor in the state of Virginia, a total rank liberal, socialist, Marxist, communist liberal is the best I can describe her. And she took office and immediately issued 10 executive orders, primarily to undermine and to reverse everything that Governor Youngkin had done in his 8 years of governorship in the state of Virginia. Now, I'm saddened to see what is taking place in Virginia today. In fact, with Spamberger, part of those executive orders was to reinstate diversity, equity, and inclusion in the hiring process and in the educational process. Spamberger reinstated all that's called the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in the public schools in the state of Virginia, from kindergarten through high school, putting it back into place. She is now saying that there's no way that she's going to allow the police and authorities in the state of Virginia to hold anybody that's illegal. She says, we're not going to carry out the federal government's responsibility of immigration. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a typical standard that is being taken, and the idea that's being promulgated with those that are the socialist Marxist left, we call it the blue cities, the blue states, where they're allowing that. And ladies and gentlemen, just recently, now in the state of Virginia, and I believe it was in one of the northern Virginia counties, where a student, 19 years old, still in school, required, by the way, in the state of Virginia, that if it's an illegal alien coming in, regardless of the age, that want to go to school, they put them in school, and the taxpayers of the state of Virginia pays the tuition. Here's a headline. Adult illegal alien student accused of groping girls at Virginia High School. Authorities say the 19-year-old suspect groped multiple female students on several months before he was arrested. The illegal alien student at Fairfax High School in Virginia has been arrested and charged with 9 counts of assault and battery for allegedly groping numerous female classmates over a period of several months. The suspect, he gives his name, was denied bail by the judge who cited public safety. Parents of the victim are outraged that the school initially downplayed the incident as a mere buttocks touching in a letter to parents. The parents claim harassment and bullying of the victims by their peers also raises questions about the school's response and responsibility to support the victims. According to the authorities, the person groped private areas of approximately a dozen female students in the high school over several months. The school's initial letter to parents was criticized for downplaying the seriousness of the events. And it goes on to say, there's a group of about 12 individuals that have reported the assault. It was all perpetrated by a single individual who is a stranger to the girls. It was groping of the private areas has been happening for several months. And ladies and gentlemen, Spanberger is the one that's brought about that event. It's Spanberger, the governor, that's removed all restrictions, all barriers. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, in our public school systems, there's the mindset of, look what's happening. Wonder why it's happening because of the curriculum. It's happening because of what they're being taught. It's happening because the morals, ethics, and values have been totally eviscerated, totally destroyed, totally removed in the educational process and what's called public education. That's the reason during the course of this broadcast, we're going to talk about the need for President Trump to follow through on his shutdown of the U.S. Department of Education. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. I'll tell you why he hasn't been able to and why it is so vital that he does so. I believe we have Davis on the line. Go ahead, Brother Davis, with your question or comment.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, my father-in-law passed away in the late 40s, and he said that the United States one day would be in a civil war again. I believe in a sense you could say this is a civil war, but it's against the Christian and the heathen that we're in. We can call it a spiritual warfare because of the people in high places, and we can see that being done every day when we have somebody like the lady in Virginia do this and other leaders in different states that's following that same pursuit. This is against Christians and heathen. They don't know God.
You're exactly right, brother. One of the primary problems that we find, we've gone down the trek for probably some 50 years now, plus, where we are leaving off the morals, ethics, and values in our public educational system. At one time, and you can identify with this, I'm still under 100.
I'm closer than you are.
That's right. At the time that you and I were in school, it was not unusual. It was the general daily routine. We would have prayer. We'd have Bible reading. We'd have a pledge to the flag. And the teacher, in my case, at our school, the teacher would give us scripture assignment to memorize the verse to quote it the next day in the classroom. Public school, public classroom. We have so destroyed education that today it's not about loving God. It's not about memorizing scripture. It's not about pledging to the flag with an allegiance to our nation and thanking God that we have a free nation. Today the mindset is to remove everything that's called morals, ethics, and values, to introduce the DEI, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, to introduce the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. It is to introduce the fact that it's okay to have abortion because that's a human right. It's et cetera. We're reaping the results of what's been taught in the so-called public U.S. Department of Education classrooms for the past 50 years. And since 1979, when that went into effect, under the leadership of the demented, if you please, Jimmy Carter as President of the United States, we're reaping the results of it today. And so it is my mind and my concern, my interest, and my prayer that somehow, some way, President Trump will be able to carry out his commitment to shut down the U.S. Department of Education. I'm looking at this. I'm going to read this and ask you a question. Trump signs an order to dismantle U.S. Education Department. President Trump signed an order to shut down the Education Department once and for all. U.S. President Donald, United States President Donald Trump has signed an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education, fulfilling a campaign pledge and long-cherished goal of some conservatives, accusing the agency of breathtaking failures. The Republican president vowed to return the money and the controls to the individual states. We're going to shut it down, and we're going to do so quickly. And further, it goes on to say, surrounded by children seated in school desks in the White House, Trump said the U.S. Department of Education spends more money on education by far than any other country. Yet he added that the students rank near the bottom of the list academically. So, Brother Davis, the question is, if we recognize the U.S. Department of Education is a dismal failure, if we recognize that we're spending, and this is not just out of the Department of Education, but each state, each city, each county in the state of here in the state of Florida, in Duval County, we're spending about, I think it's about $12,000 to $14,000 per student per year for the U.S. For the Department of Education for our county. I say that it's time that the states and the counties and the U.S. government get out of the educational program and let the families make the decision where their child goes to school, what curriculum they want for their child, and stop allowing the governmentally controlled schools to brainwash and destroy the morals, ethics, and values in our kids in the educational process. What say you?
I say it ought to be handed back down to each individual county. Each county may be responsible for the education of their children in that county. And I'm going to make a confession. When I was in school, I got two swats, one from the principal, and when I got home, Mama also talked to me very strongly about sliding in the boys' bathroom. Boy, that was a very terrible offense, wasn't it?
Well, I tell you what, that sounds like my mom. Because she said if the teacher spanks you at school, you get home, you get another one.
I did.
It was at the time and point where parents could trust the teachers to do what honored God, to do what was pleasing in the academic process. That's gone. In fact, most parents today have no say-so in what the educational process is. Even right here in Duval County, there's a mindset that you can't question what's going to be taught. You can't question the curriculum. If you do, as one case where the person that was speaking got the microphone shut off right in the midst of the speech at one of the Department of Education meetings. In fact, it's been about 6 or 8 months ago.
I remember that.
We need to recognize that parents are responsible based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the parent's responsibility to train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it, according to the Scripture. It's our responsibility, and yet that's been undermined through the U.S. Department of Education with the mindset that we know more than you about the training of your child. And it's a... it's no longer an academic system. It is a brainwashing system where the students go through that brainwashing process and it destroys the morals, ethics, and values. So, Davis, it demands our prayer, demands our attention, and I'm challenging our listeners today to recognize that we, as conservatives, patriots, and Christians, we have the responsibility to vet the candidate, to go to the polls and vote for the candidate that's going to best uphold the morals, ethics, and values of biblical constitutional republic that we are today. But it deserves our prayer and our thankfulness to the Lord for what he's done already. Davis, thank
you so much.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for your call, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. My question is to you, ladies and gentlemen, should the U.S. Department of Education be shut down? Is it a source of danger for our students? Is it a source of destruction of the morals and ethics and values in our nation? How should we respond? May I say to you, I'm looking again at the article, Trump signs the executive order to dismantle the education department. Soon after she was sworn in, McMahon sent the Department of Education 4,400 employees a memo titled, Our Department's Final Mission, a possible reference to Trump's aim to close it. Quote, this is our opportunity to perform one final unforgettable public service to future generations of students, she wrote. I hope you will join me in ensuring that when our final mission is complete, we'll be able to say that we left American education freer, stronger, and with more hope for the future than in the past decades and century. Ladies and gentlemen, the question What happened? What took place? Very clearly, let me just simply say to you, what took place was that men in black robes decided that they would simply shut that down and stop it. They would not allow it to take place. It was a signed order by the U.S. against the U.S. Department of Education, and what was said by President Donald J. Trump. It was a commitment from the judge that says we're not going to allow it right at this moment. President Donald J. Trump cannot shut down the U.S. Department of Education because the case is still pending where a judge with a black robe decided he's going to control the Oval Office. We've seen that hundreds and hundreds of times just in the past 15 months that President Trump has been in office. The mindset is we're going to control the Oval Office. That should never have been the case. But ladies and gentlemen, that's it completely. And we're witnessing today the demise of a constitutional republic as a result of that. But the governor, the new governor in the state of Virginia, is wielding a broad swath across anything that would be called morals and ethics and values. I'm looking at Psalms 82, verse 3 and 4, where we read, "Defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hands of the wicked." Now, we can do a broad application of that. It's our responsibility to defend justice and to stand for truth and to stand for the morals and ethics and values that God has given us. It's time for the Christians to stand up and not be silent anymore. It's time for us to recognize God calls us to put on the whole armor of God. You hear me? Christians, it's time for us to go to war. It's time for us to be in the battle. It's time for us to armor up and recognize that we're foot soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. And may I say to you, according to Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 10, we read just a moment ago portions of it, we have the responsibility to warn of danger ahead. Listen, today we find the Marxist judges that are controlling the Oval Office. Marxist judges controlling the Oval Office. You realize since President Trump went back in office, there's been some 300 or 400 suits against every aspect and every avenue and every portion of what he has attempted to do. I'm thankful that we have some good news in the mix of all of that. I'm looking at headlines that says, "Christian teacher wins the right to opt out of teaching same-sex marriage to first graders. A devout Christian leader has won the right to follow his religious convictions after a legal confrontation with the school where he teaches in Nashville, Tennessee. First grade teacher Eric Rivera has been banished from his classroom at the Kip Antioch College Prep School after he had asked for a religious accommodation for reading from same-sex marriage books to the young students in his class." Goes on to say, First Liberty sent a warning letter to the school arguing Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 established that it is unlawful for an employer to discriminate against an individual with respect to his or her religion and also requires employers to accommodate employees' religious practices unless doing so would impose an undue hardship on the conduct of the employer's business. And it goes on to talk about the stand that was taken and the courts relented and allowed the teacher to opt out of having to teach that garbage to his students in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we stand up and speak up. You'll recall that President Trump had signed that executive order, and that executive order was to go into effect, and it was blocked by the courts. I believe it's time Christians stand up and speak up. Let's just make some hypothetical suggestions. What if in the next election that the litmus test that we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots put on the book and the calendar and any candidate we're going to ask to go into office or vote for, that we ask them, are you willing to take a stand and demand that the U.S. Department of Education be closed? If not, why not? If so, how? And what are you going to do to implement that? Ladies and gentlemen, today, the Oval Office, the Department of Homeland Security, the National Institute of Health, with Robert Kennedy running. In fact, about 200 different agencies just joined together and filed suit against Robert Kennedy to block the institution of his health regulations that he's just determined is best for the kids, not requiring them to get 73 injections by the time they're 6 months old. That's the former regulation. He's saying that the injections, the inoculations, the vaccinations should be decided upon between the doctor and the family members, the mother and the father of that child, rather than just being implemented, controlled, and promulgated by the federal government. So what happens? A judge stopped what he was doing. A judge has just put that on hold. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I go back to the thing that I harp on so much. We're witnessing the United States of America declining and going into oblivion as a constitutional republic because of one branch of the federal government that's headed by John Roberts, the Chief Justice, that's allowing little men in little counties in little robe and black robes to make a decision that we're going to run the Oval Office. I think it's time that it was put to, that it comes to a halt. I think it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots say enough is enough and take a stand in vetting the candidates that we're going to put into office. It's time that we do so. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a massive article, and I want to just touch on two or three quotes. Reverend Charles Finney of yesteryear said this: the church must take right ground regardless to politics. The time has come for Christians to vote for the honest men and take consistent ground in politics and policies, or the Lord will curse them. God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take right ground. Politics are a part of a religion in such a country as this. And Christians must do their duty to their country as part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in the realm of politics. Charles Spurgeon said this: I often hear said, do not bring religion into politics. This is precisely where it ought to be brought. We have had enough of clever men without any conscience. Now let us see what honest men, God-fearing men, will do. Charles Spurgeon. Patrick Henry said this: bad men cannot make citizens. It is impossible that a nation of infidels or violators of God's law should be a nation of free men. It is when a people forget God, that tyrants forge their chains. A vital state of morals, a corrupted public conscience, is incompatible with free men and freedom. Patrick Henry further said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that the greatest nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here in America. Patrick Henry. One other quote, Jonathan Edwards, back in 1654, said this: first, it is their judgment that from scriptures taught them that those who are chosen to a place in government must be men truly fearing God, wise men, and learned in the truths of God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better. We have left that principle, we've left that fundamental foundational belief, and as a result of that, we're reaping the whirlwind. I'm looking at another headline: Virginia senator pointed to handgun attacks to justify his assault and ban on weapons. Virginia State Senator, a Democrat, sponsored the recently passed assault weapons ban and pointed to the handgun attacks at Virginia Tech and Virginia Beach in an attempt to justify the prohibition of AR-15s. Virginia Democrat lawmakers passed this act of AR-15 semi-automatic rifle ban on Monday, March 9th, 2026. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned when I see what is taking place in the blue cities and the blue states. I'm concerned when we see our constitutional liberties being undermined and eviscerated as a result of decision-making on some of the states and representatives like that. Here's another headline. A ban with no basis in law. Landmark ruling affirms that a teacher has a right to pray. Listen, we have that right. We have that right, whether it be a politician or a professional or a teacher. Sweeping rules finds Constitution does not permit a school official to silence a teacher in her private or his private or personal prayers simply because the students might see it. A federal appeals court has delivered what is being described as a landmark ruling that affirms a Texas teacher has a right to pray on school grounds. That means that her principal violated clearly established law when he ordered her to stop. The American Center for Law and Justice, the court's reasoning was sweeping. The Constitution does not permit a school official to silence a teacher's private personal prayers simply because a student might see it. So, ladies and gentlemen, the ruling was made that that teacher has a right to pray. And for years and years and years and years now, we've seen it said that a teacher cannot have a Bible in public school, that a teacher cannot pray if that student might see it. It might irreparably harm them intellectually and philosophically. It might harm them. So therefore, the teacher cannot exercise his or her freedom of speech and the right to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes on to talk about the lady was a longtime teacher at the high school, independent school district, et cetera, et cetera. September 2023, she invited fellow staff members to join her in a brief prayer at the school's flagpole prayer day. And she was literally dragged away from the flagpole by the principal that demanded that she had broken the rules, that she could not do that on school property because it's federal property. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a farce, and too long, for too long, Christians and conservatives and patriots have believed that lie. They've backed up and allowed the secular socialist Marxist communist system to prevail. This is where we are today, and we're headed for an election. And the closer we get to that election, the more we need to recognize that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We need to let the world know, the nation know, our city, our county, and our state know that we as Christians are going to vet the candidate and put the candidate that pleases God in office and not allow this erosion of our liberties any further. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.